Hey, everybody. This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 19 and Franchise Hockey Manager 5. And guess what? As of today, you can play Perfect Team. Our public beta is now available for Out of the Park Baseball 19, the brand new free-to-play mode inside Out of the Park Baseball 19 is now available in a public beta. Perfect Team, we've been working on this for many months. It is a really cool new mode inside of Out of the Park Baseball 19 where you can assemble a custom-made team of players and you can pit it online against people from around the world in these really cool tiered leagues with promotion and relegation. And it's all about your strategy and your tactics and your, you know, how you put your team together. The leagues are constantly playing. You play an entire season over the course of a week. Games are simulated every 30 minutes. It's this really cool, really fun mode called Perfect Team, and the public beta is now available. Out of the Park Baseball 19 Perfect Team public beta. Go check it out. Just go to otpdevelopments.com. If you already have the game on Steam, the update will be there and you'll be able to hop in. If you've already got the game directly from outoftheparkdevelopments.com, same thing. Just let us know what you think. It is the public beta of Perfect Team. Out of the Park Baseball 19. Thank you, everybody, and enjoy the show.
Well, this is episode 297. I don't know, Mr. Rich Grisham, if you realize that. Actually, I'm pretty sure you do, since you put the episode number into the files. But we are approaching episode 300 of the Press Row Podcast, which will take place later this month. I look back because I was not involved with the Press Row Podcast. You forgot about, or you didn't even want me around.
Hold on.
It's September 2012, Rich. It's been over 6 years of Press Row Podcasting.
Wow, that's amazing. I was intimidated by you, Brian.
I'm a scary man.
Not scary, right? You were Pasta Padre, dude. You were and are the number one main dude in sports gaming. So I had no idea what I was doing. By the way, I still don't. But when I started this thing, and the instant that I had the opportunity to start working with you, which was now certainly in the history of the show, relatively early in the history of the show, I seized upon the opportunity, and I have not stopped bothering you since.
You know, the funny thing is back then, and especially before it, but even back then, I was not real comfortable with the talking on a podcast, on a radio show, or being on videos or anything. Like, I had an anxiety towards those things, and so I would get nervous and I would dread it. And I remember, I think my first appearance on there on the podcast, I was nervous, and I think it was like you interviewed me or you the group. Or I was just part of it. Maybe we talked about me and then other stuff.
Oh, I remember. You were definitely part of a group. You were, it was sort of like your first appearance. And I remember asking you, one of the topics was about moderating comments. And you talked about that.
Talk about something that does not really exist anymore.
Yeah. It's amazing how much has changed over the 6 years, right? I mean, that's spanned three, like when we started, it was still the, what was it? No, I guess it was the two generations, the 360 to Xbox One and the PS3 to the PS4. So
that's
in terms of where we are now versus where we were then, in a lot of ways, it's wildly different.
It really is.
And in a lot of ways, it's a lot the same. You know, a lot of the franchises are the same. A lot of the single variants are the same, but the way to play the games and access them is wildly different, and pay for them or not pay for them. So it's really cool thinking about that.
Yeah, it's things have come a long way, and certainly we approach the games differently, and they're developed very differently, and they're distributed differently now. I wonder if the last 6 years are more dramatic in that sense than the 6 years that preceded it.
No.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. And maybe it's just because of how I participate, although, you know, we've been participating pretty deeply in the 6 years. It seems to me like things have been, relatively speaking, rather tame. In that, you know, there hasn't been like this massive sort of revolution. The 6 years prior to that, there were so many more games, and, you know, there was all the arcade games as well as multiple football games and multiple college games, right? Like, it was a much wilder landscape in the six previous years than the last six, in terms of the games themselves. It's been, I think, extremely conservative. But I don't say that in a bad way, because the gameplay has matured in ways that are undeniable.
It was a much more volatile time leading up to 2012, certainly from 2006 to 2012.
Totally.
Those transitions, the console transitions, were much rougher. We had the death of so many franchises over that period. Licensing related or not licensing related, simply sales related, and development cost related. But yeah, it's fascinating to think over those 6 years how much has changed, but also how much is the same within the landscape that is sports gaming. Also, not invited on the Press Row podcast in the early days, it was Daniel Basil, Uber YouTuber, who now does get to come on the Press Row podcast like me. How are you doing, man?
Doing well. Yes, I may have not been invited, but I was listening for sure. I've been listening for a long time. I can't say that I listened all the way from the very beginning. I think, Brian, you were always on the show when I started listening. But it's been at least, 2018? It's been at least 4 to 5 years that I've listened to the show. And it's one of my favorite podcasts every week. And I was just talking to Brian before we went live that the only bummer about this is about being on the show is that I now won't have this podcast to listen to this week. That's really the only downside. But I get to live it, which is quite a treat as well. So that's the only thing. But glad to be back. Thank you for having me. This should be a fun show for sure.
We benefit from having your insight and your perspective. But our listenership does go down, Rich, by 50% when Uber YouTuber does not listen. So that's problematic.
That's true. That, you know, I wasn't going to say it, but now you're forcing my hand. Daniel, still go hit that download button.
Yeah.
Anyway, I will. I surely will. I'll listen to it in my car, and I'll tell all my friends to
perfect.
Make sure to listen to it.
This is where we say rate us on iTunes and wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Yes.
Give us a good rating and all that. We appreciate when you do that. When you listen, obviously, that helps us out too. We're just trying to go through right now what I consider to be some really rough months, Rich, and I think you kind of disagree. We're going to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
This feels to me like one of the deadest times ever in the sports gaming world, certainly as far as news goes. Now, you counter that with, we have all the games out.
Games,
right?
games. The whole point of the games are the games. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
So here we are. It's the start of November, and I'm very bored with pretty much all of them already. And I don't know if that sentiment is shared. I'm sure it's not shared by everyone, but more so than any other year, I feel like, man, you know, I don't know. I don't have the incentive. It maybe if I was playing the Ultimate Team modes, I just don't want to get back into those. Maybe that would drive it a little more. But Rich, you play these games a certain way.
Yes.
Every year.
Yes.
Essentially playing the same way.
Yes.
And you're still doing it. I can't relate to that right now.
Well, I'm rotating because I'm not playing Madden, and I'm not playing NBA 2K right now. I've moved on from Pro Evo to
for good or
FIFA.
Just temporary?
Not for good, just because, man, FIFA is so good on the Xbox One X. It's just so tempting. I could not resist the temptation any longer. I played a lot of Pro Evo, and Daniel, you and I are going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Mm-hmm. But the siren song of FIFA proved too strong. I'm just, as I've said many times, Brian, soccer video games, like, that just fits me in a lot of ways these days.
Right.
And so I'm rotating the games. Like, you know, I've done, this will be my third or fourth run at FIFA franchise or managing, you know, the club. I've done three, maybe four pro Evos. But sort of Madden has fallen out. You know, I do an MLB The Show every year. And you got to remember, Brian, a lot of this is on the treadmill. A significant amount of this is on the treadmill. And that,
yeah, so you're multitasking, Rich.
Right. But I mean, that's part of my, it's like, it's a lifestyle thing, right? Like part of my lifestyle is to get on the treadmill and play sports video games, like for 46 minutes a day, 2 to 3 times a week, which is the only, I mean, it used to be more, but now I work out at my office and not at my home office as much. The video game setup is obviously in the home office, but that's like a lifestyle thing. That's what I do. And so that has a lot to do with it, because I don't know if I was just, well, no, I do know, right? If when I'm playing games at night, right, after the family's in bed and when I have those, you know, 14 minutes of free time, and I'm not exaggerating that much, you know, I got a half an hour to play a game, you know, it's hard for a sports game to make it into that rotation just because of the wide plethora of amazing AAA games that are available right now on every single system. You know, like I completed, Brian, me, this guy right here talking to you right now, I completed Spider-Man. I never complete anything, much less a comic book, you know, superhero Rich, game. That's like the,
don't you, you complete games. You just do it 6 years after they come out.
Well, that's true. That's another, you are absolutely right. So anyway, getting back to it, like, so I'm rotating the games, and I have a purpose to playing them. But I also do at night, you know, I will throw in a game of Pro Evo or FIFA or NBA 2K before I go to bed. Like, I still usually have sort of like the last thing I'm playing at night will be a game in my rotation. So, yes, I play all the games every year, and they're great. They're great. They're great, great, great. And I have a lot of fun playing them over 3-4 month periods and sort of getting into a groove. Some I stay longer, some I stay less. I'm going to play NHL this way. I'm going to play NBA 2K more. I've been playing it some, but sort of FIFA has my most of my sports mind share right now, along with something we'll also discuss later, Forza Horizon 4. So, Ryan, I feel the opposite of you. I am so happy all these games are out and available. And by the way, I didn't have to buy NHL, and I know I'm still going to be able to play it through EA Access. That's awesome. I'm playing the first 10 hours of FIFA on EA Access. So whatever doldrums you got, Brian, I'm in the opposite camp. I am enjoying the bounty that is available right now. It's awesome.
What about you, Uber? How are you seeing basically these games from the last few months or this year? How have they resonated with you?
Yeah, so I'm a little bit mixed here. I have not been playing the same games that I've been playing over the last, gosh, I don't know, 20 years that I get every single year and I play every single year. So I feel you in the sense of that I'm a little bit, I don't know if it's fatigued or burned out on games like Madden and even FIFA and NHL. But with that being said, I'm having the most fun maybe ever playing games right now, because there are so many other good games out right now. So Madden came out, and I played that pretty intense for about 2 to 3 weeks. I got into the Ultimate Team, had a ton of fun, really enjoyed it. And then I just kind of fizzled out, and I totally kind of just got burned out. And then the thing with these Ultimate Team modes is it feels like they can pass you by in a hurry with all the different content and things. And I feel like if you don't log on for a couple of days or a week, the mode has left you in the dust, so to say. So, you know, I've always enjoyed the Ultimate Team structure, the Ultimate Team modes, but I just, maybe I'm suffering from a little bit of fatigue. So I've been playing a lot of Pro Evo, and I do play the card collecting mode in that game, but there isn't that much content to really keep up on a daily basis. So I can log in every couple of days, see what's new, play a ranked match against somebody online, and the gameplay is just so fabulous. And it's one of those games, like Rich was saying, a soccer video game, FIFA and PES, it is a game where you can just jump in if you only have 20, 25 minutes and you can get a game in and have a blast, right?
Yes.
One of the Madden is not really like that. Madden, you kind of got to carve out 45 minutes to an hour.
Unless you want to go with that whole moments thing. But whenever I use that, I don't like it. Like there's for whatever reason, I know a lot of people like the moments thing in Madden, and what's funny is, and I will let you go back to talking. Sorry for interrupting, Daniel, but like I'm the guy who always, you know, player locks through 5-6 innings or plays, you know, when I play my NBA 2K game, I set it to full length quarters and then sim midway through the third. For some reason, the way that I love to play NBA and MLB, I don't like playing in Madden. I just like to skip the defense and only play offense. I feel like I have control that way. Anyway, sorry, dude.
Yeah. So as far as sports games, games that I've picked up on day one, literally since some of them since they first came out, NBA 2K, you know, I've bought that game since 1999, the very first one on the Dreamcast. This is the first year where I actually didn't pick it up on day one. And this is that's another game that's become so complex to me and so deep. It's a good thing for hardcore basketball heads, but I feel like the game has sort of passed me by a little bit because I've played last year and I like playing online. I like playing against other people, humans, and I feel like I've just gotten dominated.
Nope.
Maybe I'm doing it wrong. Maybe I need to do the Rich Grisham thing, and maybe I just need to start an offline franchise and perhaps even do it like you do, sim through three quarters or halfway through the third, and then pick up the game to give it a little bit more of a realistic sense as far as scores and things like that. Maybe I need to try that. But playing that game online, I need to make that game. I feel like I need to make that game my full-time job in order to even remotely come close to being able to succeed. And then NHL is another game that I've downloaded and I have yet to open it. Although I think, you know, we're only in November. I mean, November, literally the very beginning of November. So I do see myself picking up these games at some point because, you know, we still have a long ways to go till the next wave of sports games comes out or even MLB The Show. But yeah, I've been having a ton of fun playing PES. It's a game I can quickly jump in and out of, much like Rich, kids and life and soccer practices and things like that. You don't have that much time. So when you do get 30 minutes, PES is a great game to jump in, get a game in. The other game, Forza, I've been playing a lot of Forza. And although much like Greg Stewart and Rich discussed on the podcast last week, the map layout is a little cumbersome, it bugs me a little bit, but it's another game you can literally jump in 20 minutes, 30 minutes and have a good time playing. And other than that, as far as games that I've been playing, a lot of non-sports games have kind of sparked my interest this year, more so than ever before, I think. Mm. So,
You know, I was going to ask, both of you consider time important, obviously. I think as you get older, you start to value that a little more. Are these games now, in the way they're being designed, which is largely around grinding, whether it's in the ultimate team type modes or in the single player career modes, where you're either going to have to grind for hours on end or you're going to pay to get past that in order to advance and have fun with it. Obviously success, it's been a success in terms of financials, but is it kind of moving some, I know you're going to say no, Rich, because you found ways around it, but are they, you know, is it kind of timing, you know, getting, knocking some people out who would like to play these games in a more efficient way? Or are they balancing that, you think, properly, Rich?
Well, I don't know, because there's a lot of different examples, right? So it's a game-by-game basis. But I'll say this. You have to provide a tremendous amount of content as a AAA console sports video game, licensed sports video game in 2018. A tremendous amount. I mean, critics have been skewering NHL up until the last couple of years because of the amount of content that it lost in the transition. And you know, you can't read an NHL 18 review or an NHL 17 review or an NHL 16 review without the second or third sentence being, when NHL transitioned to the new console generation, it was a disaster, and they have spent the last 2/3/4 years picking up the pieces, or some variant of that. So anyway, it's game by game. Regardless, the games have to be incredibly deep because the core fans, the ones who you count on the most to buy your game every year and to pay for additional, you know, Ultimate Team or any other, you know, whatever sort of various currencies you have, you know, they demand tremendous amounts of content. And so if you try to sort of go more casual or something like that, that's a recipe for disaster. NHL got killed for that kind of thing. And not that they were going for casual, but just, you know, for losing some things. So I think it's quite the opposite. I think these games have no choice but to continue to offer multiple deep modes that, you know, across Ultimate Teams and franchises and, you know, whatever sort of you know, variations you have in, you know, EASHL in NHL and, you know, online racing and racing games. You got to have so much. So, no.
Well, let me ask Daniel then. Do you think it's maybe then a lack of alternatives? We have essentially one game for each sport, although you could say basketball has two, you could say soccer has two, although one is dominant in each. But we really don't have that many quality arcade games, secondary kind of less popular or individual type sports like tennis and golf and others along those lines are rare to get games, or at least get games that are considered on par with the AAA type team sports games that we get. Is it the lack of alternatives then, where they're cramming so much into these games and they're also trying to monetize them in certain ways? I don't know. I'm just going off the top of my head right here. I don't know if there is an issue or not. It's just like every time we talk about these things, we talk about, well, this I can do in 20 minutes, this I can do in 20 minutes. But the games so much now are centered around, you got to put in 60 hours to get your player up.
That's everything. That's Fortnite. That's Call of Duty. That's anything and everything. That's every video game now. If you don't offer that incredibly time-consuming, it's got to be your job experience, you have no chance. It's not that everybody has to do it, but you have to have that. You have to cultivate that. Otherwise, you've got no chance.
Yeah, and I do feel like these games are geared towards the hardcore fans of these particular games more so than ever before at this day and age. You know, we were just talking about the generations, you know, back PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2 days. We had so many more franchises, so many more sports games and all kinds of goofy arcade games and things like that. Now, each game is really geared towards the hardcore audience, I feel like. I mean, like golf, the Golf Club, it's an amazing game, but it's I wouldn't consider it a very easy to pick up casual experience, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's for golf fans and golf sports game fans, hardcore golf sports game fans. And I feel like most of these games are like that now. Especially with these Ultimate Teams as well. Like, these Ultimate Team modes have become its own game, a game within the game, and it's gotten so deep. And I mean, I've stuck with it for many years now, but this year, 2018, for the first time, I really felt like I can't keep up anymore. I'm having such a tough time because I do love all these games. I want to play football. I want to play soccer. I want to play hockey. I want to play basketball. If I was just a fan of Madden, just a fan of football, perhaps I could stick with it. But I just, there's so many other games I'd also like to play that I've just kind of given up on even trying to keep up with these game modes. And I check it out on Twitter. I see all these cool things they're doing and cool game modes, and it looks really neat, but I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm getting older or something. I don't know, but I just don't have the energy to burn these calories on grinding hours on end for these cards or players or within these game modes.
Yeah, and then you have to restart every year. I think that's the most difficult thing is I went, yes. Let's say I went and I played Diamond Dynasty and maybe it was MLB 17 or 16 for an extreme amount of time over many, many months. And then you end it, and then the new game comes out, and then I think I do not want to get myself into that again. Like, it's just too much. I sunk too much time into that, and ultimately for what? I mean, maybe I enjoyed myself along the way, or maybe it was just the satisfaction of, earning certain things. But in the end, what did it matter? You know, so I don't know. That's just how I feel about those things. And I'm surprised that they continue to grow as opposed to kind of dissipate, or, you know, maybe they'll hit a peak at some point. I don't know. Rich, what yes. other game would you like to talk about?
Okay. I'm going to try to keep myself composed. I am having an extremely mercurial. No, that's not the right term. An extremely chaotic, angry, love-hate relationship with Forza Horizon 4.
Yes.
Okay. Is this related to the open world nature of it or something else this time? Because I know that was really your one issue with the last Forza is you don't really know where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do at whatever given time.
That's the thing. That issue remains, but there's 14 other issues on top of that that is really ticking me off.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. I'm excited to hear this. I don't get this side of you very often.
Well, I am a, from day one, Forza fan. You know, Forza Horizon. I'm in, buy them all, play them all, love them all. I hate this game. I hate how this game makes me feel because not only does the map explode with icons littered everywhere every 2 to 3 races, I have no idea what is going on. I just have no idea what am I trying to accomplish. Am I trying to level up my dirt racing level? Am I trying to level up my road racing level? Am I trying to complete the stunt driver challenge? Am I trying to collect certain kinds of cars? What am I doing here? I understand that there's something going on. But I have no idea what it is and where my place in the world is. Some of the races are tremendous fun. They would be a lot more fun if, for example, when I went to go be on a, I think cross-country series, they stopped me before I got in my Ferrari and took it out on a mud course, basically. And they should have certainly recommended, hey, why don't, of those other 119 cars you have in garage, you know, how about one of these that's sort of meant for this kind of a thing? So it's really weird. Like, sometimes you go to these events and you're I'm not a super car guy. Like, but I realized when I started the race, this mud race in a Ferrari, that this was ridiculous. And the game should have stopped me from doing it because it's not easy to drive a Ferrari in the mud, just so you know. In case you're wondering, I just have so many issues other than not understanding what I'm doing or why, constantly being thrown wheel spins and all these little challenges that pop up and you don't know whether you should care about them or not. And oh man, just it's aggravating because there are so many parts of the racing that are fun and it's very customizable, but I continue to get aggravated. So a few other things that I'm aggravated by, there's no way to upgrade your cars, but you can tune your cars. Now, again, as not being a big car guy, tuning a car, like, you know, and when I say tune, I mean, pretty, you know, there's like 7 or 8 different things you can tune from, like your air pressure and your gear ratios and, you know, all sorts of little things. But like, there's no upgrades. You know how if you've got a car and you can say, oh, I want to improve the intake, or I want to get, you know, better tires, or I want to get a better fuel injection system, you know, like they've had in these cars. You don't get to do any of that.
So, Rich, like, sorry to interrupt. You actually can, but this may make you even more furious.
Oh,
it's extremely hard to find that menu.
Well, that's okay. So there you go. Speaking of menus, there's like 13 of them, and yes. I don't know what any of them are telling me to do. Numbers are constantly popping up like, oh, there's four of something in here for you. And then I go to where I see the four, and then I can't find in the eight different boxes there where the four is for me to go into it and get the thing. Oh my gosh. Just such is it me? Have I lost it? It's not like I'm a newcomer to this franchise or this series. I've been here since day one. How is this happening? Daniel, what is going on with Forza Horizon 4?
I couldn't agree with you more. And I've really sunk my teeth into this game. I probably have 40 hours into this game. I mean, I've really went like hard on this. And I mirror everything you just said. I have no idea after 40 hours what's going on. And by the way, the map, you think it's littered after 4 hours? It is. There is so much stuff going on. You basically win one race, and it forces you onto the map. You can't even back out of it. And this is the worst part. It traps you on the map screen, and you have a narrator telling you all this other cool stuff that's going on, and it just plops down like 14 more races onto the map. You just beat one race, and you just when you thought you were starting to make some progress, there's 14 more icons on the map, and you have no idea which way to go. You can upgrade the car, and I had to actually Google.
Are you serious? I've looked for this.
The tuning screen is extremely easy to find. The upgrade screen is so cumbersome.
Wait,
I had to Google
it. Now, do you mean when you say upgrade? Do you mean adding the little skill points to it? Because I found that.
But, no.
Okay. So I'm not that. Confused. Something
not
else.
That. That's a whole other thing too. Yes. No. You can do the intake. You basically can get more horsepower onto your car.
You
can totally max it out. What you need to do real quick, you have to get in the car. There's an icon, get in the car, and it shows the car in the kind of a showroom setting.
Yes.
Yeah. You have to get into that car, and then there's a menu that pops up that'll actually have a little tile that says upgrade vehicle, and that's where you do it. I'll take a screenshot and send
it. Oh my gosh.
Because I know exactly what you're talking
okay.
about.
Okay. So, by the way, where's my garage? Can you tell me where my garage is? Because whenever I get a car from the barn find, which I actually like the barn finds, like you get this big circle and you got to go hunting in the circle to find a barn. And when you find the barn, then you get the car that's in there. The car that's in there is all broken down and beat up or shot up like this old Audi that I got. But right. Then after a week's game time, they're like, go to your garage. Your barn find car is there. I'm like, great. Where's my garage? So I drive to my house, and it's not there.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, well, if my garage is not at my house, then where would this garage be? So then I'm searching. Go ahead.
So the garage is actually in the menu.
Yes.
You gotta hit the pause menu, right? But however, these barn finds, there's a separate tile for the barn finds, and you have to claim this vehicle first.
Yes.
Is the barn find.
That's difficult to do as well, because I found a car and it's like, all right, it's in the garage. And then I eventually went to the garage and there was nothing there. And then I went to the barn finds tile and I literally had to just click on every silhouette until I clicked on the silhouette that happened to be the car that I found. What?
That's right.
What?
It's yeah. Yeah.
What is that?
It's insanity is what it is. But then you get on the road and it's so much fun.
Yes.
That's the part that
And all my friends are there. All my friends are out there racing with me. Every single race I see all sorts of people. I know people that I have been following. Some of them are like, you know, Kat and Pete Dodd. Brian, right. I don't think I see you
on there.
Are you? I don't think what's your? I don't know if you've been in mind, Dana. We gotta connect as friends on
for sure. For sure,
not.
I see Corey. Has been my arch nemesis in this game because he seems to win every race that
really?
I don't win. If I don't win the race, he surely will.
Right, and I see Stewart on there. Less vegetables. If anyone out there is less vegetables, please let me know. Less vegetables is my nemesis. I don't know who he is. I know he's been on my in my Forza world for years because I remember my son giggling at his name like 5 years ago or 4 years ago, and he just continues to follow me around, or she, whoever.
I will say one thing. This may make your life a little bit easier, Rich, if you do choose to go this route. And this is the route I've taken because I don't know if you guys got a chance to see my tweet today, but when I make a shopping list for the grocery store, I organize it by layout of the grocery store. Right, I list all my vegetables. Then I, in proximity to the grocery. So looking at this map, it just causes me all kinds of anxiety. So I've now refused to look at the map. So what I do now is I have a friend named Anna in this game, and I'm not sure if you've been able to check that out, Rich.
Yeah, keep going. But I'll tell you Anna, my problem with her.
So you can summon Anna, and basically you hit one direction on the D-pad, and it just says I want to race, and then Anna will set a waypoint and guide me to a race.
So
now the bad thing is you don't feel like you have any you don't know if this is a big race, if it's a race you really want to do, but there's just so many, I just tried to start knocking them out, but every time I seem to do three or four, there's 18 more that pop up on the map. So exactly. So I don't know. I just refuse to look at the map at this point. It's causing me anxiety.
Well, here's probably not good for my OCD.
Oh no, Brian, you would literally collapse on the floor. I know that. So here's my problem with Anna, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes she brings me to a race that I'm like, ooh, it would be nice if I had my, my Ferrari, or if I had my Audi or whatever. Like one of my barn find cars was this old beat up Audi, but for whatever reason, when I drive it, it's just fantastic. So it's like it's been my favorite little car. Sometimes you get to a race and you're stuck driving the car that you have, and other times it forces you to be in a different car. So I never even know like what car, because sometimes you're not in the car you want to be in. And
yeah,
other times that's
something else I'm very confused by, because
confusing.
You get to the race, sometimes you have to stay in that car, and it doesn't seem to make sense. Like you were just saying, you may be driving around cruising in a Ferrari, and you get to this insane like mud race with jumps off road through sheep herds and things like that, and you just think to yourself, I don't know if a Ferrari Testarossa is the right car for this environment. Then other times it prompts you to take a Jeep, right? And you're like, okay, great, this makes sense. But I there's no rhyme or reason for it. I don't understand it, at least.
And here's another thing, all right? And this is really bothers me, is that when you complete event, it doesn't matter if you come in first or 10th, because you just get credits and then ding, it's completed.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to win races, and I have the difficulty set up plus 50%, as we talked about with Stewart last week. Like I've got I've got everything plus one, right? All the different difficulty settings are turned one level more difficult up, like the avatars are now above average difficult. The racing line is braking only and all that kind of stuff. And I do that because I like to win, and I'm able to win a lot, not all the time. And sometimes I got to do it two or three times. But like if I don't do the race right then and there, there's no way to tell after a race is done. If you look at the map on the icon where it says completed, it doesn't tell you what place you came in best or anything like that. And I want to know, did I win this or did I not win it? Because if I didn't win it and I liked the race, I want to go back and come in first place. But that's not the way that this game conducts itself. It's like, I don't care if you win or lose. You got some credits and ding, it's completed and on your move. Now here's 10 more races. I'm like, my brain doesn't understand this. For lack of a better term.
To me, also, if you do win the race, I think the icon should disappear off the map.
Yes.
Because they're just cluttered. You know, there's certain saturated areas, cities and things like that, where there's literally 12 events, and they're all just cluttered on top of each other.
You can't sometimes see them. Even, you're right.
Yeah, it's hard to even set a waypoint for them. So I think if you win a race, it should just disappear off the map and then maybe have a menu where you can, you know, if you do want to replay that race, just have a little scroll menu where you can call that up. But yeah, it's super overwhelming.
And
I agree with you.
For those of you who say, well, for the map problem people, right, for the map challenged of us, of which at least two of us on this show are, use the filters. And my response to that is the filter menu, there's 10 things. So you got to go into the filters and you got 10 things that you can turn on or off, and you don't know first when you click on it whether you're turning it on or whether you're turning it off. And the description of what you're turning on and turning off isn't always very descriptive, so you don't even know what you're turning on or you're off, and there's 10 of them. So the filters is even more anxiety-inducing.
Yeah. And what is your purpose? That's the other thing. What is my purpose
am
in
I
this
doing?
Game?
It's right. If I had some semblance of a clue what I was trying to accomplish in the game, I think some of this would be less aggravating, but that's not the case, so therefore this is all twice as aggravating. All these other things I'm complaining about.
Well, so the game's got a 90, I just looked, a 92 on Metacritic, Rich, which is the highest for the series. I think pretty sure it's the highest for the series, all four games. Is that just on reputation, or is there something about the game that makes it better than the past ones?
Well, I don't care about that.
I'm just curious whether the general consensus towards the game is in agreement with you, or is it generally seen as like a triumph?
Well, no, that's where I was going. I don't care about the Metacritic. What I care about is how is it performing in the market. And Forza Horizon 4 is outperforming any other Forza Horizon ever by far. Like, it's doing great.
So if it's doing great, then
people are clearly enjoying this game.
What are you basing that on, though? Are sales?
Yes,
and
sales.
Well, how do you figure, though, considering we don't know how it's influenced by Game Pass, where everybody's getting it for free? Is it based on downloads?
Well, there was I referenced it last week, and I'll pull it up right here mm-hmm. as we're talking. There was an article in GamesBeat about the Forza Horizon 4 has the best launch sales in the franchise's 13-year history. It's broke a series record in terms of dollar sales, and that's that's above and beyond the fact that it's in the Xbox Games Pass. So that's what I'm talking about, right? Clearly, I don't want to get on a whole separate rant with reviews, because I have good friends who write reviews and write good reviews for important websites. However,
no, let's offend everybody.
No, it's not about offending people, right? It's just there's like all friends of the show who come on the show. There's like 7 or 8, people who write good reviews for major publications. But in the world of Metacritic, there's tons of websites that don't meet the same criteria.
Okay? Obviously,
right.
Yes.
So, the whole skewing of numbers, like if you look at, for example, Red Dead Redemption 2, the numbers of tens... I mean, really? Come on. Let's get it together, everybody. And same thing with this. Like, look, I find it very difficult to believe that between me and Daniel and Greg Seward, the three of us, and I had not played nearly as much when Greg and I did the show last week. I had played some, but this was the week that I broke through, and made it into the Horizon team and then played another 10 hours, right? This was the week where I spent the most time with it. If the three of us feel the way we do about it, which is, it's a great game, go buy it, but oh my gosh, does it drive you insane, right? Like, we're fighting through all of that because the actual core racing gameplay is great, mm-hmm. right? But if the three of us feel that way about this, either the three of us are completely out of touch, or I think there's some hyperbole and... I don't even know what the right word is. Just, you know, to me, that seems, you know, this game, of all the Forza Horizon games, which are great, like if I wanted to introduce somebody to the Forza Horizon series, this is the last of the four games that I would introduce them to. I would probably go Forza Horizon 3, but only because of the Hot Wheels mod, or not mod, but the add-on. Like, Forza Horizon 2 might really be the answer, but it certainly wouldn't be Forza Horizon 4. Like, it would it would be the last of the series that I would recommend to a first-timer, for example. So I think those reviews are way off, and they are certainly based upon prior games, not this one.
Interesting. I was just going to mention, so Red Dead Redemption 2, Metacritic 97, which is extraordinary.
That's ridiculous.
But people who are playing it, I see a lot of complaints. I don't know where the disconnect is with some of these. I'm kind of interested by that, the difference between like where people see a game and where reviewers see a game. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, Forza is a tough one. Forza Horizon, because it's meant to be a, you know, not necessarily arcade, but it's definitely meant to be a more accessible, more approachable game that appeals to a wider crowd. And it sounds like, because I have not played it, I just haven't, I didn't really feel motivated to play it because I felt like it was just going to end up being the same thing in a different setting with many of the same gripes that we've had before. And I thought the last Forza really outside of, your complaints, Rich, with the last one, with the last Forza Horizon, I mean, I thought it was almost difficult to imagine how they improve on that. So they do things like adding in the changes in weather and stuff like that. And it's like, I don't know if that really gets me excited. It looks extraordinary, of course, it always does, but those gripes remain and may have been, you know, even emphasized more, it seems like, based on your guys' experience.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, Daniel, just one
quick thing
real quick. The guys at Playground Games who make this game are really, really, really good at what they do, right? It's very difficult. Brian, you just hit it, right? Like, how do you innovate on this series? How do you keep it fresh? How do you keep it interesting? You know, it is a racing game. There's only so many kinds of things you can do with a racing game, right? You can change the setting and you can introduce new things. But, like, it's hard to put all this together. And it just feels like, for whatever reason, they sort of haven't figured out how to communicate their vision in the game itself, right? So anyway, Daniel, go ahead.
Yeah, there's so much going on in this game, and part of that makes it great, right? It's just downright fun. Like, I enjoy racing against a train or these dirt bikes.
The showcase
like
things are
so
awesome. Yes.
Yes, so cool. I just last night I raced in a race that was like a Halo themed race, which was really cool. So they're taking stuff from other game franchises and integrating it into the game. And I think that's so awesome. It's super cool. This reminds me of playing Cool Borders back in the day, because I used to love Cool Borders 2 especially. Like, it was just downright fun. When you hit the slopes, just like in this game, once you hit the street, it is so much fun. I just wish it was a little bit more linear as far as the story or what, just kind of guide me in the right direction, you know, tell me what I'm supposed to be doing. That's really the main gripe I have. Everything else is great. The graphics are phenomenal. In 4K, it looks awesome.
You're right about that.
Goodness. It's amazing. Looks, I like, just like Greg Stewart mentioned, I like being able to hit a tree at 220 miles an hour and just being able to bounce right back, even hitting the rewind button from time to time. I love that.
Oh,
love
it. The rewind button is so wonderful.
It is great. And I like games like F1. Don't get me wrong. I love simulation racers, but I love this. I love
– yes.
You know, I love the idea that they had where they have four seasons now, truly four seasons, and every week dynamically it changes. You know, right now I think we're in summer or fall, and then next week it's going to change to winter. Those are all great additions. My main gripe is really just with the map and the story and not knowing what's going on. The menus upon menus and currencies upon currencies, things like that. I think it should be a little bit more simplified. And when you get to review scores, you know, it's so tough. How much of that 92 is based on gameplay, how much of it is based on, you know, I don't know. I don't pay too much attention to reviews anymore. Not like I used to do, at least.
So I think if we've learned one thing, it's that both of you would like Forza Horizon 5 to be on the moon. What? Something
we need. No, because you wouldn't have puddles.
But with fewer challenges, more linear, right, Rich?
Well, I'll tell you this, right? So there's a lot that Forza Horizon 4 wants you to do. It wants you to race in different kinds of events. Right, it wants you to race off-road. It wants you to race on streets. It wants you to race in wide open spaces, and it wants you to race in very small, dense places. It wants you to race lots of different kinds of vehicles, from limousines to pickup trucks to supercars, Lamborghinis and Ferraris, and everything in between. As I mentioned, this car, this little, like, I don't know, 1980s era Audi that I got in a barn find has wound up being, for reasons I can never explain or articulate because I'm not a car guy, the car that I've actually had the most fun driving, for whatever reason. It's just when I race it, it gets past all the other cars a lot faster than any other car that I've seen to drive. And so, you know, it, oh, that's that it, if it were able to guide you through for a little while, we're going to do this. We're going to race these kinds of races or these classes of cars. In fact, you know, and maybe it's lazy, but like if it would sort of maybe follow the path of a traditional Forza game, where you kind of have championships that you participate in, you know, one after the next, and within each championship, there's 7 or 8 races to go through, right? So it sort of encapsulates it. And each of those 7 or 8 races is in different kinds of vehicles. You know, if it were able to just guide me more effectively through the world that they put together and dramatically reduce my options available to me and allow me to feel like I'm making progress, it would just be spectacular. And, you know, one of my least favorite things to hear people say is, well, I want the game to be like this. Like, nobody likes to hear people whine about how they want the game to be to please them. Mm-hmm. However, if the game were like that, I would certainly be much happier playing it. What it comes down to is I'm having less and less fun in the best parts of the game, in the racing parts, which are absolutely great. Because one at the end of the race, I don't know if what I did really makes a difference. Because I don't know if I win, if it makes a difference, or if I come in fourth or ninth. And at the end of the day, if you're not quite sure what you're getting out of it, it's tough to get really excited.
All right, Daniel, you got a different game you'd like to talk about?
Pro Evolution Soccer. Right. Mm-hmm. That is, I am in love with that game. And similar to Forza, there are a lot of things that bother me with Pro Evolution Soccer. However, as soon as I hit the pitch, I forget about it all. And I just melt away. And I absolutely adore this game. This is by far the year where I've always played PES, but I've played more PES this year than ever before. And I've really made a concerted effort into downloading the kits and doing all that stuff. And I'm playing it on PC, and there's even an option file that lets you put in stadiums, past stadiums that have been in PES games in previous PES versions, which is insane to me. I had no idea that that's a thing. I'm just now getting into PC gaming, and that's really opened it up for me. And really, it's been such a blast playing PES. And I play online mostly. I like the online competition, and I do play the My Club mode, which is their card collecting, team building mode. And I've just been having a ton of fun. It's real easy getting good players, so I have a absolutely stacked lineup. And the gameplay is just so good. It is so good. I'm still you know, I don't know, we're months and months into the release of this game, and I'm still seeing goals on a nightly basis that I've never seen before, or passes or headers or deflections and things like that. There's just so many animations in this game. It's just, I love it. I absolutely love it. And part of it is probably because I've really gotten back into soccer this year with the World Cup. I've just really gone back to my original sport that I grew up on in Germany. And maybe that's coinciding with why I love PES so much. And with all that being said, I really want to play FIFA as well. I've dabbled with it. I just haven't gotten myself to really devote time to FIFA yet, but I do want to do that as well. So PES is right up there on top of my list of games being played right now. Sports games, at least.
Rich, has FIFA, you mentioned you've been playing more FIFA, but what is the reason for that, you think?
Well, the reason is I've played a lot of PES over the last few years, and I've played a little bit of FIFA. And I made it to about halfway through my second season in Pro Evolution with Everton. And I just wanted to play FIFA. I wanted to hear the crowd. I wanted to be in the right stadiums. I wanted all the teams to be right. I wanted them to be live right with their, you know, the information about the teams, you know, meaning up to date, up to the minute. And I've got the Xbox One X, and I got the 4K TV recommended to me, Brian, and I just wanted to experience some FIFA. You know, call me a sucker for the big, you know, big summer movie blockbuster promotion, but it's there. And yeah. then the game is pretty darn good, and it's different than Pro Evo. I know Pro Evo really well right now, and I'm not saying I'm not going to go back and play more Pro Evo. I guarantee you I will, because I'm going to complete my second season. But my team is already so good in Pro Evo. And the reason my team is so good, Everton, is so good is because I know how to do scouting really well now in Pro Evo, and because Everton had a nice they had a decent starting amount of money that I could use, and then I sell everybody that doesn't start or at least make the game day roster. And Everton being Everton, they have a bunch of high priced guys that don't play, so I sell them all and I get a bunch of money, and then I go get like two really good players to put in the weakest spot. So I always get like Saul, and I got Marcelo. So all of a sudden, you know, I take a very middling team with Everton in the, you know, low 80s, and I add two 85, 86, 87 world-class players, and it just transforms the team. And I don't know how to do that yet in FIFA. So I don't know quite how to control the game. The controls, the game plays differently, not dramatically differently, but differently. And what's funny is I've played three matches so far, and it's just the preseason tournament. I elected to get into a preseason tournament. I lost the first game by like 4-1 or something, or 4-0. I won the second game like 5-0, and then tied the third game 0-0. So I'm all over the map. I'm either winning big, losing big, or a 0-0 draw. But my next match is my first match against my first Premier League match of the season against Wolverhampton. So it's, you know, I'm playing it the same way that I play Pro Evo. Like I'm doing a lot of, you know, I have a very much a possession game. I like to have the ball a lot. I like to make tons and tons of safe passes, and then I like to throw the ball up the wing, and then, you know, again, collect the ball around on the wing, going back and forth and keep possession until I can maybe get a nice guy crossing over the middle, and then perhaps a nice little quick through ball tap to somebody open, or you know, just a nice, when you're running right, you shoot to the top left corner kind of stuff. You know, I really love possession and wing play and through balls when I'm able to get a turnover. And that's how I play Pro Evo, and that's how I'm also playing FIFA, and I'm not having as much success, and that's okay, because I have to figure, well, for a couple reasons. Number one, my Everton Pro Evo team is light years better than my Everton FIFA team. My Everton FIFA team is no good. And because I'm haven't yet figured out truly how to scout well, I'm not able to make the additions. I just want to get like, and I have like, they have like $71 million to spend. So there's a lot of money to spend. I just want to get like two good players. I need an upgrade in the middle. I want to get an 84, 85 overall guy. And I could use an upgrade on the right wing or the left wing, but definitely the right wing. I'm not able, like I'm trying, I'm using the scouting network and I'm saying, go find good, you know, wingers and good, center, CDMs and CAMs here and there and everywhere. But I'm not having a lot of success. So, but yeah, I like I said much earlier, right? The Siren Song of FIFA has been calling. I'm playing it. It's fun. I like it. I like it a lot. And it just looks and sounds so good. But the gameplay is not as smooth as Pro Evo. It's just not. But it's not that far off either.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
All right. So one more thing I wanted to talk about in this episode relates to the buying of the games. And we always lament that they all release so close together. It's hard to buy all the games you would want. It's also hard to find the time to play all the games you would want to. But traditionally, you've had to wait for Black Friday to get really good deals on the games that would release in August and September and October. But different this year. We've already seen, let me look at the list here. FIFA, which came out the end of September, you can get it for $29 right now. Madden has been down to 30. NBA 2K19 has been down to 40. NBA Live was down to 24, and that was like 2 weeks after it came out. We have in the past, I think, talked a little bit about buying games day one, and obviously for big fans of the games themselves, it's hard to wait. You want to get in on it right away. You've also got things influencing your purchase decisions, such as pre-order bonuses that vanish if you don't get them day one, as well as things like Ultimate Team or even like My Career Mode in NBA 2K, where if you don't start on day one, you're going to be behind everyone else and you're going to be playing catch up from as soon as you buy the game later on through the end of the year or your end of the end of your time playing it. But with these games dropping in price within a few weeks or at like tops a month, Rich, is buying on day one a good idea anymore?
Yes, absolutely. If you want to play the game, you want to play it day one. Now, I'm never going to tell somebody how to spend their money. I play.
Okay, but let me ask you real quick, though, because you have, I believe, expressed the opinion that NBA 2K comes out like 6 weeks before the season starts. Do you need that game day one when you're not excited about the NBA season yet because it's still way off?
I'm not talking about need. This is not about need. It's about how do you value your time and your money? If you are excited to play a game, it is absolutely worth it to get it as soon as you possibly can because you want to maximize the amount of time you play it. If you want to wait for a deal, that's fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but that just means that you're delaying by 30 days or 60 days or 10 days or 90 days, you know, when you get to play it. And if it's worth it to you to save $10 or $20 or $30, that's great. But I'm also of the mind that, you know, I want to play the new MLB The Show when it comes out. And I want to play the new Madden and the new Pro Evo. Now, I've waited, but EA Access has eliminated, right, my ability or my need to even make most of those decisions anyway. Mm. Right? So that's something that's worth being said. Now, I know it's only on Xbox. It's not on PlayStation. So, but yeah, I mean, look, people would say, oh, I'm not getting the new Xbox. I'm going to wait, you know, I'm going to wait for a year until it's, you know, comes down in price. That's great. If you wait for a year, then you're just delaying your ability to play it for a year. And that may be fine or it may not. So it really just comes down to what do you want to do with your time? I completely respect, understand, and am a participant in, hey, when something that I really love comes out, if I can get it, I'm going to go get it, right? I mean, I'm blessed that I have, you know, the ability to go get a new video game the day it comes out if I really want to do it. There's something to be said for being in on something day one. That means something if you care about it. But again, I'm also the guy who, with rare exceptions, I don't play any other kinds of games day one. You know, I play games 2, 3, 4 years after they come out, and sometimes much later in the non-sports game world, and that's cool with that. And I'm not of the mindset like I have to be playing Beyond Two Souls when it comes out. I can play it 3 or 4 years later, and I'm perfectly happy with it, right? You know, so it all depends on your mindset. But I definitely don't believe that, if assuming that $10 or $20 isn't a critical amount of money to you, right? Is it worth it to wait a month or 2 months to save $10 or $20? Might be. Right. Or you might be like, look, I don't really care that much to play it, but when I can get it for $20, I'll get it. Right. I get that, too. So my point is, if you want to play it day one, there's no shame in getting it day one. And I'm a day one guy with stuff that I really love. And I'm a year four guy with stuff that I might like, but I don't care passionately about.
or that you discover later. You know what I forgot, Daniel, to mention is that if you actually want to play on day one now, you have to pay $100. That's basically the entry fee now that they force you to pay for their more expensive special editions, which come out on the actual release day and penalize everybody who wants to wait or who wants to pay just the regular standard price by having to wait a few days later. So it's actually more, if you look at it in that context, it's actually more of a more of a difference in terms of dollars, if you look at it that way. But so you have to have some patience regardless.
Yeah.
Just to wait the few days. If you're eager for the game and you want to save $40, whatever's packaged in the expensive edition you don't care about, then yeah, you still have to have some of that patience too. So what are your thoughts on this?
That's a good point. That's a fairly new thing too, right? Where developers now are releasing games. Some of these games have 2 or 3 release dates, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on if you're subscribed to the service, you get it this day. If you want the super uber duper mega edition, you get it this day. And then if you are just settling for the $59.99 version, you get it on that day. It's quite confusing, actually, sometimes. Some of these games have completely snuck up on me where I'm like, oh, wow, this is coming out today if I buy this version of it. But I think, like Rich said, it's a case-by-case scenario. If you're a huge basketball fan, you can't wait to play 2K, you're probably going to fork over whatever that cost is. Now, there are ways to be savvy about it, and the subscription services are certainly one way, and I've been using those every chance I get. And for people like us who play all the sports games for the most part, EA Access is a godsend. It's great, right? Because like Rich, for example, he's got 10 hours of FIFA. If he's still playing PES right now, he can finish PES, play his entire 10 hours of FIFA, do his franchise. And by the time his 10 hours are up, perhaps FIFA then will be on sale for $29.99, and then he can just swoop it up that way. And oh, by the way, if you buy it through EA Access, you get that discount as well. So there's definitely ways to be savvy about it. I've taken advantage of it for the most part, but I'm with Rich. If it's a game that is either not offered through a subscription service and I would like to play it on day one, I usually am the one that does get it on day one. Games like Pro Evo or MLB The Show, to name a few.
And, you know, it's funny, Brian, I'm sitting here sort of extolling the virtues of getting in on day one, but I didn't get a 4K TV until, what, 6 months ago? Got my Xbox One and PlayStation 4 Pro and an Xbox One X, right? I was a late adopter from those perspectives, but that was because I didn't feel a personal urgency, so to speak, for it. Like, yeah, you know, when I really care, I'll get around to it. And it's great having it. I love the Xbox One X and the PlayStation 4 Pro. I wasn't like waiting for a deal or anything like that. I was just sort of, you know, when it seemed to be the right time, it was the right time. And, you know, I think, you know, for me personally, if the games were, the releases of the games were scheduled more around when the real season started, I think that would add some juice to it, right? So mm-hmm. if you can sort of imagine if FIFA and PES came out right in time for the start of the European football season, Madden came out right in time for like the Thursday night opening game, NHL came out on NHL opening day, and NBA Live and NBA 2K came out on the opening night of NBA, I think there would be a lot more people, and I don't necessarily mean on the same day, but at the same 2 to 3 day window, I think there would be a lot more sort of the day one or not. But because of the combination of the services that they're offered on, the staggered true release dates, right, for the pre-order editions and the regular editions, and the fact that the release dates don't happen in concert with when the true season start, I think that also sort of contributes to the should I get it or shouldn't I get it day one.
Yeah, there are definitely a lot more options and a lot more flexibility now. Like Daniel was mentioning, you can play. What is the true day one for a game? Is it the for EA? Is it the EA Access trial time? You know, 5 or 6 days before the game releases. Is that its day one? Is it day one when the expensive special edition hits? Is it day one when the standard edition hits? But I think at the very least, what it does is allows you to say, all right, maybe I am incredibly eager to play one specific game or one sport or whatever it is. And then those secondary games, the one where I'm like, yeah, I'd like to buy it, but I'm prioritizing something else first. Then you say, all right, well, when NHL gets down to $30, that'll make sense for me in a month or whatever it is. So it does provide a little more flexibility. And if you are money conscious in that sense, then you can definitely wait it out and get your opportunities not long after anymore, really. And that's not, it's not even just sports games now. You can do that with most video games. You can wait a few weeks to a month.
Except Nintendo.
Yeah, Nintendo never drops.
Nope. So that's another reason, right? Like if a Nintendo game comes out that you want to play, just get it. Because you're not going to totally save any money waiting.
Totally agree on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the what's cool about this is that if you want to play day one, go for day one. But if you don't care, if you want to wait till the holidays, you can scoop up a lot for a little.
Right.
Lot for a little. If you
NBA
are cool.
NBA 2K for me this year. You know, that's a perfect example. I just, even if I bought it on day one, I wouldn't have had time to play it at this point. What, maybe an hour, 2 hours? There's so many other games I'm playing right now. Eventually, I will get burned out playing these games. And I am going to want my basketball fix, and hopefully then I'll be able to see NBA 2K19 for $29 or $20 or whatever it may be. So it's the beauty of it.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for this episode. Thank you, Daniel Basil, Uber YouTuber. Do you want to shout out where we can find you?
Ooh,
Twitter. Twitch and all that?
Yes. I'm actually streaming for Extra Life for Kids this Saturday. I know lot of people are because November 3rd is the official day where a lot of people are streaming 24 hours, and I'll be doing that as well. So if you guys want to check out my stream, it's Uber White Twitch on Twitch. So it's pretty easy to find. You can find me on Twitter at Daniel Basil. I have the link up there. And all the proceeds are going to UCSF Benioff Children's Hospitals, which is a good cause. I've actually taken my son to that network of hospitals. So it hits home, and I'm excited to do that this weekend.
Awesome. We'll go ahead and link to that through the description also if anybody wants to click through. Rich Grisham, your Out of the Park Baseball predicted the World Series.
Two for two on MLB Network, Brian.
That's
Weedy.
Right.
Yeah.
Two for two. Astros last year, Red Sox this year. Thank you. We're very
That's
excited.
Incredible.
And we are also, by the time you can hear this, the public beta for Perfect Team is open.
Wow. All right.
So if you want to get in on Perfect Team, be one of the first. The public beta is now available as of Friday, November 2nd. We are incredibly excited. This is a completely new world for us. We have spent a tremendous amount of time and effort on this, and we can't wait to hear what people have to say. So it's a beta, so interesting things are going to happen. It's not going to carry over into the final release, which will be coming after the public beta. But if you want to play the all-new mode called Perfect Team, go to ootpdevelopments.com and check it out, or hit us up on Twitter, OOTP Baseball. Hit us up on Facebook. Go to our Discord channel. There's 119 different ways to get in touch with Out of the Park Developments. Perfect Team public beta, Brian Weed. I'm excited. I can't wait. I hope people have a great time with it.
Yeah, I'm sending you snail mail.
That'll work.
I got your P.O. box.
Message in a bottle.
Yeah, that's another option. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week. As we mentioned at the top of the show, we're approaching episode 300. We'll probably try and do something fun for that. But we also have things like Sports Game of the Year coming up and other awards to give out and some fun stuff to look forward to. So thank you again. Take care. And we'll be back next week.